Hello, everyone, and welcome to Take the Points. This is the Week 5 show. I'm Tom Zalesnok. I'm in Hartford, Connecticut, and I'm here with Daniel Partridge in Phoenix, Arizona. Dan, it is a bad week to be an Arizona resident and a college football fan.
I just want everyone to know that this isn't the first take of the show. We're doing this again. Just let everyone know. But anyway, on to Arizona. Hello, everyone. Yeah, horrible week. See, this is what happens when I take a week off the podcast. You know, the Arizona kid flakes out, and U of A and Arizona State lay huge eggs at home, and everyone gets all sad and pissed off. But, yeah, these teams are overrated. I don't know what's going on.
What was the more shocking, depressing, use whatever adjective you want? Was it Oregon losing by 42 points, or was it the blowout of both Arizona teams?
Oregon was even worse. I mean, I know they had an injury to their quarterback, but that was awful.
Mariota would not have fixed that. Joe Montana wouldn't have fixed that score.
Mariota may have fixed that score.
He would have helped.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty amazing. But still, that was embarrassing. Oregon hasn't been whipped that bad, especially at home, in a long, long, long time. So, Helfrich, you're on the hot seat already, FYI.
Yeah, we could have saved this for later, but let me make a public service announcement to America. Utah is a good team. I keep watching shows on ESPN and other channels. I read articles. It's like, what's wrong with Oregon? Oregon sucks. The Oregon dynasty is over. How about we give some credit to Utah, who's really, really good this year?
Absolutely.
Oregon did suck. I mean, don't get me wrong, but Utah's also very good. They're now, I believe, ranked 10th, and it should probably be even higher. I'm looking forward to the Cal-Utah Pac-12 championship game, Dan.
I know. It's totally absurd. Totally ridiculous.
All right, so we're taping on Wednesday. You won't hear this until Thursday. I was at a conference in New Hampshire, so we're a little bit delayed. I was living free and not dying, riding a motorcycle without a helmet. Actually, Dan, it was funny.
Those tax.
Yeah, voting for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Doing all the New Hampshire things, looking at foliage.
Going to Hampton Beach in the summer.
I don't even know what that is. See, that's, I'm not like, as New Hampshire as you.
New Hampshire has about 20 miles of coastline, and they have like a couple of cool beaches. One's like a party beach called Hampton Beach. I've seen Ryan Adams there before. That was fun.
Oh, is that the Jersey Shore of Boston that I always hear about?
Exactly. There you go.
So, yeah, so we're a little bit behind. It's funny. I was at a philanthropy conference, but in the same hotel, basically in the next conference room over, there was a craft brewing conference. And the whole time I'm sitting there learning about tax codes for nonprofits, I'm like, wonder what's going on next door.
Click, 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 click.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I got to make an extended bathroom break. Just go That's next cool. door and get some Smutty Nose IPA. All right, Dan. The point is, because this is coming out later in the week, we are going to go straight into the Week 5 lines. And we're going to start with a Friday night game, one Friday game. The great UConn Huskies, now 2-2, after an impressive 2-0 start, they've slipped a little bit. They are now at BYU, who's coming off a horrible loss to Michigan. Any thoughts on either of these teams, this game, BYU's blowout loss at Michigan?
BYU seems to have a lot of injuries every year. It looks like it's caught up to them a little bit. But, you know, I mean, the over-under in this game is 44.5, and the line's BYU minus 18.5. That's a lot of points. I kind of like UConn to keep the score closer than that, as crazy as that sounds. So I'd probably lean UConn, maybe even the over, but probably just UConn.
UConn has a respectable defense. Their offense, as I've said several times, in fact, probably every week, is a pile of dog shit, I believe is how I described it last week.
They're
not good. As a team, they're not good because, as we know, they haven't figured out that you can throw the forward lateral in 2015. They still seem to be playing like it's 1937 where you can only run the ball. But they've got a very good defense, and Bob Diaco's done a good job in that regard at least. So they're improving. I guess if you're looking for trends, UConn's trending upward. BYU has a really hard schedule, and it finally caught up to them. They got blown out by Michigan. Look for them to rebound and beat UConn, but probably not by 18.
I agree.
And let's see. Ooh, moving along to Saturday at noon, the Doris Burke Memorial ESPNU noon Eastern game of the week, Minnesota at Northwestern.
Oh, now, God.
You've got three members of Minnesota secondary who are out and or questionable for this game. So they've only got one starter potentially in the secondary. The problem is Northwestern maybe can't pass. It's unclear at this point.
So they're ranked 16th in the country. Is that a misprint?
Well, they're undefeated, and Justin Jackson has 516 yards rushing, and their defense is very good. So, unfortunately, they can't take advantage, whereas a team like Baylor, I think, would destroy Minnesota this week without that secondary. I don't think Northwestern's going to take advantage, and I actually think you should take the points in this game. I think Minnesota's going to keep it to a field goal. But the reason I put it on here is because the over-under is 40, which even for these crappy teams seems way too low.
I agree. Over is exactly what I like. That is not a lot of points for college football. The clock's stopping and penalties, and it's still early enough in the year where it's not, you know, really cold and snowing sideways in Chicago. So, over 40, I very much like that. In fact, we might see that later.
Another one, I very much like the over, another Big Ten game, Iowa at Wisconsin. 44.5 point over-under. And a 6.5 point line. Now, Iowa is underrated. Nobody knows about them. They're undefeated. Unfortunately, they haven't really been tested. Their best game was an OT victory against Pitt. So I would not say take the points. I would say take the over. I think Wisconsin can score, and Iowa's better than people give them credit for. Wisconsin has a new running back. Taiwan Deal is his name. I hope I'm saying that correctly. But he's the next future Wisconsin running back star. And I think to get this, you need, what, 24 to 21? I think that's very reasonable.
Absolutely.
All right, so there's some Big Ten overs for you.
Wow.
Now, this one will be real quick. It's Purdue at Michigan State. The line is 21.5. I'm going to warn people that Michigan State is probably looking ahead. They're ranked number 2 in the country now. Even though Purdue is complete garbage this year, I really don't think Michigan State's, they're one of those teams that'll turn it on when they have to, but they don't blow people out. So stay away from that one.
The only thing that I would say is that next week they're on the road at a horrible Rutgers team. Then they're at Michigan. So next week they'll probably mail it in. And they're coming off a home win against Central Michigan where they only won 30-10. So there's a chance that this is the week where they actually mash somebody, you know, 55-10, and then next week mail it in. But it's a weird game, but you're right. 21.5 is a lot. Probably a stay away.
All right. Let's check back next week on this one, because my feeling is that Michigan State traditionally, and especially the last couple of years, will not run up the score. They'll just get enough to win and maintain their pole position. So I say they win by 18.
Okay.
South Carolina at Missouri, quickly, Dan. What is wrong with these teams?
Matty Mock out with an injury in this game. So the line, I believe, dropped from like 4.5 to 1 to pick them. They both suck. I'm going to go with South Carolina just because Matty Mock's out. Not that he's any really good, but whatever.
I will say in South Carolina's favor, now Missouri is 3-1. They still have hopes probably of competing in the SEC East, and they need to win this game to do so. South Carolina, though, I looked at the schedule earlier today, and I won't go through reading it off, but they might need this game to be bowl eligible. Wow. They got a tough slate coming up, and they're not very good. And if they're going to get to 6 or 7 wins, I think this is one of the ones they might have to win. So, advantage ball coach.
The old ball coach. He's sneaky.
Dan, quick ball coach hot seat check-in. How hot is his seat this week?
If he loses to Missouri when Missouri's missing their backup quarterback, his pants might catch fire.
Do you think the ball coach makes it through the year?
I do. He's the ball coach. If you fire him halfway through the year, he's going to come to your house and light your house on fire. He's going to burn down your friggin' house.
You think he gets fired in the off season or steps down to spend more time with family?
Yes, Plan B, who will step down to spend more time with family, make a cameo appearance on ESPN, and then he'll probably go to like UT after or something like that, or I don't know. We'll see.
Quick note on Army at Penn State. This one's off the board. The reason being, I assume, is that Penn State's top two running backs are questionable for the game, possibly out. Penn State has a lot of injuries. Things were just starting to shape up for them against San Diego State. I got my hook bet correct. They barely covered the spread, but they did get the over-under. But so many injuries in that game, and that's not what you want to see against San Diego State. You're just trying to win and get out of there. So we'll see how that goes. Stay away from this game. Trent Dilfer weighed in today and said that Christian Hackenberg is, quote, not in a good situation. Just want to thank Trent for that cutting insight. Thank you, Trent Dilfer.
Thanks, Trent.
That's great analysis.
Great work.
This one's all you, Dan. Texas at TCU. 15-point line.
Texas can score points now all of a sudden. I don't know what happened.
Was TCU Texas Tech the game of the year so far?
Yeah, it was so fun to watch. It was unbelievable. I still like the over 71.5. Just fire the over.
You sure about that? I mean, Texas, yeah. You're the master of the Big 12, but Texas in their last game against Oklahoma State, they did score, 27 points, but the defense scored 14 of that.
It's okay. It's a lot. It's over.
All right. I defer to you on all things west of the Mississippi River.
Thank you.
West Virginia at Oklahoma, speaking of which, number 23 yes. versus number 15. But we don't know if these teams are actually good. So what do you think?
It's really hard. You're exactly right. We don't know how good they are. They're both 3-0. Oklahoma minus a touchdown, pretty much a home field line there. I think that spreads right on. Over-under is only 59.5. I would probably, lean the over again. Hate to say it again, but it's, Oklahoma with the new spread, high-tempo offense against West Virginia, and you know about Dana. And, over 59.5 seems to be a nice play in that game.
How many Red Bulls is Holgorsen going to consume prior to and during game time?
About eight.
His magic number seems to be about 6.5.
Yeah, over the 6.5 Red Bulls.
I don't have a pick, but I would love to see West Virginia win this game outright.
Me
They're
too.
Due for a nice little comeback. Oklahoma's, they've had enough time. I've got nothing against Oklahoma, but, it's like one of those bands where you don't have anything against them, but you would just like to stop hearing them on the radio. They're the Foo Fighters for the last 8 years. It's like they're fine. They've got a great history, but we've heard enough.
I've had enough Foo Fighters for the rest of my life.
Dave Grohl's the coolest guy of all time for a band that I haven't liked a song of theirs in 8 years.
Yeah, same here.
If that makes sense. I think the last Foo Fighters song I liked was The Pretender, but I still to this day think Dave Grohl's like the coolest person on earth.
Yep, it's fair.
So there you go.
Able to pull that off.
All right. Undefeated Ohio State travels to undefeated Indiana.
Oh.
Yeah. Nate Sudfeld, by the way, possibly the most underrated quarterback in the entire country.
Oh.
There's people who think that Indiana's going to give them some trouble.
Okay. 21's a lot. Ohio State has not been impressive. I'll take the 21 with Indiana at home.
Do you want to wager on Indiana, though? That's the problem.
What, like money line?
Well, no, I mean you have to put your faith in Indiana and watch a three-hour game knowing that you need Indiana to do things.
Yeah, I'm going to take the 3 touchdowns with the undefeated team with a lot of confidence. Maybe they keep it close, they get a couple calls, lose by 10. I don't know, something like that.
I think Indiana covers this, but I don't have the balls to bet on Indiana yet. We'll see how it goes. All right, exactly. Dan. History in the making. Baylor at Texas Tech.
Unbelievable, folks. This is the highest over-under of all time. 90. That's right. 90 ball. You need like a lot of points. You need 13 touchdowns. And I think you're going to get it. This game's at the Jerry Dome. It's going to be wild. I know it's like, well, it's a lot of points. They can't keep it up. Both teams are going to go up and down the field. Art's going to drop at least 63, if not more, maybe 77 for Baylor. I like the over. It's crazy. And I'd probably also hook them. They're minus 17. And I don't know if Texas Tech has two crazy games in a row, in a row, back to back. So yeah, over 90. Well, why not?
Yeah, I mean, I would say if Texas Tech performs well this week, that would actually be three good games in a row because they beat Arkansas a couple weeks ago,
Oh, perfect.
which some people might want to say that Arkansas is down a little, but that's still a decent quality win. They beat them by 11. I think with TCU struggling last week, if Baylor can come out and really blow the doors off Texas Tech, they can sort of establish dominance, at least at this point in the Big 12. That TCU showdown isn't for a while, but this is a way for Baylor to come out and say that despite the media's picks and what people saw at the end of last year, Baylor is still the team to beat in the Big 12.
Yeah, I'm very excited to watch this game. It's going to be so fun. Corey Coleman, I think, has nine touchdowns, by the way. We'll see if he can keep it going and score another three or four this week.
Their receiving core is one of the best I can remember, definitely in recent memory, last 5 or 10 years.
It's incredible. Kade Cannon flying around, all those running backs. It's just their offense is off the charts this year. I mean, this is the best offense they've ever had. That's saying something.
Yeah, the question is, will their defense hold up? And this might be a good chance to find out. Or will their defense need to hold up? At some point, every team needs their defense to hold up, no matter how good they are. At some point, they're going to play a team where they need their defense to step up, whether it's the new quarterback struggling, or they can't get the running game going, or Kade Cannon's dropping balls. It's going to happen at least once this year, and that's when they'll need Oakman and the D to step up for them. So we'll see. Probably not this week.
Right now, we're gonna hammer them.
All right, lightning round, Dan.
Bring it.
North Carolina at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech favored by 7.5. Georgia Tech on a two-game losing streak.
I'm gonna take North Carolina until Georgia Tech straightens out their problems.
Me too. I don't know what's up with Georgia Tech, but they haven't, not only have they lost, but they've not played well either. Not the same team as last year. I'm taking the points this week.
Agree.
Florida State at Wake Forest, 19.5 point line.
I'm going to take Wake Forest. I don't believe in this Florida State team.
Kansas State at Oklahoma State. Now, I have a few notes on this one. Oklahoma State 4-0, ranked 20th, has not been impressive, but as we say, accumulate wins, which is what you need to do in September. Mason Rudolph not looking good lately, and some have been calling for J.W. Walsh to start, which may happen soon. Kansas State is the same way, 3-0, but hasn't looked great. I want your pick, Dan, and then Oklahoma State was one of your sleeper teams at the beginning of the year. How are you feeling about that pick now?
I'm feeling pretty good about it. They have an easy schedule. They play all their hard games at home. And again, it's college football. There is no preseason. It takes a couple weeks to get everything together. So they made it through September unscathed. Props to them. I think they're just going to improve. I'm going to take them, lay the points this week too.
All right. San Jose State at Auburn. Is it a little too early to write Auburn's obituary for the season?
Yeah, they aren't going to win the national title, but they will improve as the season goes on and look for them to pull a big upset in November. But that will be their season. They'll play in a shitty bowl with six wins.
Outback Bowl? Or are we thinking more like the Meineke Car Care Bowl?
Yeah, like December 28th.
Yeah, Gator Bowl, Tax Slayer Bowl.
Tax Slayer Bowl, BBVA Compass Bowl.
Tax Slayer is one of my favorites until this past year's Bitcoin Bowl, my new favorite bowl.
Bitcoin Bowl rules. So good.
All right. Auburn over Minnesota in the Bitcoin Bowl. I'm calling it now.
Oh, brutal. Can't wait to bet it.
Did you watch the game against Mississippi State? Okay, neither did I. Oh, I watched a little bit. Can't really tell if Shaun White has any potential. Obviously, he didn't play great, but it's his first start ever, and he's a freshman. So no one expected him to be great.
Right.
So, TBD. Washington State at California, the new best team in the Pac-12 North. Cal favored by an astonishing 19 points. You never would have seen that a year or two ago.
That's right.
As I mentioned, Cal Utah is your current Pac-12 championship game.
Can't wait.
I like Cal. It's funny, they actually remind me of last year's Washington State team with Connor Halliday, except that they actually win games instead of losing 72 to 68. Do you think there's a realistic chance that they beat out Oregon, Stanford for the Pac-12 North?
I guess it's possible. They have the quarterback play to do it, and I'm going to lay the points with them this week. But I don't know. It's going to be really tough. Pac-12 is going to be really weird this year. It's going to have to shake itself up.
I'm going to make a hot take prediction.
Oh.
Jared Goff, number one overall draft pick.
Wow.
Yeah. Ahead of Hackenberg, ahead of Connor Cook, ahead of Hargraves or whoever else. Number one.
Impressive.
All right, Dan, time for a Mike Leach hot seat check-in.
Ooh.
Where's he at?
Get in the shed. Let's go.
Okay. Pretty hot then. He's not even on the hot seat. He's basically just waiting to be fired, right?
He's always waiting to be fired. He doesn't care. So that's what makes him absolutely hilarious.
He's basically on the island and lost, like a
Yep.
purgatory state.
He's like, I don't give a shit. If I get fired, it's Washington State. No one's gonna, care about this. I'll go be offensive coordinator somewhere in Texas. I'll see you later.
The weird thing for Mike Leach, he could actually go to coach some MAC school and actually be better off.
Oh yeah, he'd be unbelievable
Like
there.
if he were at Toledo or something, might be a better job.
It's a smart move, maybe. That might be his next move. Toledo.
All right. Well, Toledo's
Since
pretty good this year, but Mike Leach to the MAC would be unstoppable. Then you'd see the first 100-point over/under.
Yeah, you would.
All right. Eastern Michigan, speaking of shitty MAC teams, at LSU. Now, it's a 44.5 point line, which is a little much. Let me read some stats that I wrote down for Leonard Fournette. Pretty much your clear Heisman leader at this point. We don't like to talk about the Heisman this early, but I think this one's obvious. 244 yards rushing against the Cuse. SEC Offensive Player of the Week for the third straight week. 631 yards, 8 TDs on the season so far. Fastest player in LSU history to reach 500 yards. On pace, now this is not sustainable, but if he did keep up his current pace, if he somehow could play Syracuse 9 more times, he would finish the year with 2,524 yards and 32 touchdowns. And then the most impressive of all, they interviewed Herschel Walker today, or maybe it was yesterday, and he said that Fournette is better than he was in college.
It's unbelievable.
So, and then I heard something else, which might be interesting. Colin Cowherd on his show today said that he thinks it would make sense for Fournette to sit out and save himself for the NFL.
Yeah.
I have strong feelings on this one, but what do you think?
It's a weird situation. I don't know if you can change the whole system for one guy, but at the same time, NFL scouts are looking at how many carries these kids are getting in college. Are they worried that, those who am I thinking of? Well, first of all of the SEC running backs seem to have problems in the NFL because they get too many carries. Outside of Arian Foster, all of them seem to like not pan out because they get too much wear and tear. Even all of the Wisconsin guys, there's way too many touches, and then they go to the pros and they're awful.
But the one thing that the SEC and Wisconsin both have in common is dominating offensive lines. And you look at Alabama, who just has all these elite running backs one after another. Is it possible the offensive line is just so good that a guy who maybe not, I'm not saying that Derrick Henry or Ingram or Trent Richardson are bad, but maybe we overinflate their value because of the great offensive line.
Maybe that, or that they are getting hit every week by these massive guys in the SEC. And I think college coaches need to do a better job of doing a rotation with their running backs. Actually, Nick Saban, I think, has really improved with that, given all his backs, a whole bunch of carries. But it's really interesting because if he gets, hurt next year, it's going to kill his career. But it's a kind of a catch 22 thing. Obviously he's going to play and be great, but I just hope the kid doesn't get hurt like Marcus Lattimore or Clowney or something like that. So we'll see.
Yeah. Adrian Peterson came back from a terrible injury, but there aren't a ton of other guys who come back. I guess Willis McGahee somewhat.
Somewhat. He was never quite the same, but he was very good. He was like 95% as good as he was, but it's never 100.
So yeah, my feeling is that an injury is obviously a big concern. And basically, I was going to say exactly what you said. Sitting out for a year, not only to me, goes against sort of the ethics of the game. Also, it goes against the mindset of athletes who are that good. Nobody's going to willingly take themselves out for a year. Also, taking a year off from football, even if you're training, that hurts you probably maybe not as much as a terrible knee injury, but that hurts you greatly too, sitting out. So I've come to the same conclusion as you. It's really on the coach. Leonard Fournette, although they want to rack up big numbers and get a Heisman Trophy candidate, he shouldn't be rushing that much against Syracuse. Uh-oh. They should have the second or third string in. They don't need that to beat the Cuse, despite the deceivingly close score. They could have beat them with anyone.
Exactly. And he had an 87-yard touchdown call back on a horrible penalty. Just want to call that.
Yeah. Hopefully Les Miles will do some rotating.
Yeah, that's what they need to do. There's no reason that like all these guys are playing against easy cupcake early season games. There's no reason why they should even be playing at all.
You look at the best teams like some of the Urban Meyer Florida teams and Nick Saban teams, Michigan State recently. They don't try to blow out the bad teams. They just try to secure the win, let other guys have a chance, and then save your power, save your good plays for the big games. That's what you got to do.
Especially now that we have a playoff, and it's highly unlikely that there's going to be more than four undefeated teams. You're not going to have five undefeated teams, so just win. It's all matters.
Yeah, and this relates to what we were saying about Oregon earlier, and we'll get to them later, but they're just losing everybody once again. Ole Miss at Florida first, night game in the swamp. Wow. Florida gets 7.5, Dan. Maybe I'm crazy, but that sounds pretty good to me for an SEC big-time ranked versus ranked matchup.
That's a really, really tough line to lay with Ole Miss. So I'm going to lay it with Ole Miss. I think I'm going to go against counter wisdom here and think that Ole Miss is actually really, really, really good. We talked about how much talent they have. They had the number one recruiting class 3 years ago. Now you're all seeing them as juniors. They got a quarterback who's way better than that stiff Bo Wallace ever was. They're hungry. They look good. I'm going to lay it with Ole Miss.
I like them. They're my number one team if I had a vote. But night game in the swamp against a rejuvenated Florida team that's undefeated. Florida's got the D. They've got Hargraves, who might be able to shut down or at least slow down Treadwell somewhat. We'll see. I think it's exactly a 7-point game, so I'm going to take the points.
Okay.
All right. Speed round for you. Arkansas at Tennessee.
Oof.
Everyone's surprise SEC teams of the year. Not working out so great.
We talked about the horrible coaching in Tennessee for weeks, and no one listened to us. Butch Jones is a fucking clown. Absolutely horrible job this year by him. Tennessee can be undefeated.
Yeah, the fans are starting to turn on him.
And Arkansas is equally awful. So I'm going to go with the under and not watch it.
Good choice. All right, Dan. One of the big Louisiana showdowns. There's a few of these a year. ULL versus La Tech.
La Tech's really good this year. Go with La Tech.
They're favored by 18.
That's right. Lay it with La Tech.
La Tech, yeah. La Tech is the Louisiana team of the year. not counting LSU, obviously.
Normally, you're supposed to take the points in the spot, but La Tech's so good this year that they're going to put on a show.
All right. This one's all you. UNLV at Nevada. The Vegas showdown.
Ooh, pretty bad. I'm going to go with an under in this game.
All right. And this one's also for you. Your Arizona State Sun Devils, now coming off a bad loss, now have to travel to UCLA and face the greatest freshman of all time, Josh Rosen.
They're going to get absolutely fucking shredded. And normally you'd say, oh, UCLA mails in this game. No, Arizona State is horrible. They are not even good.
What's wrong with them?
Their quarterback sucks. Todd Graham's messing around with too much shit. It's been really hot here. I mean, like, more than normal, like, later in the year. And it's possible these kids are kind of worn down from practicing outside. It's been really unseasonably hot, which stops in, like, 2 days. I think we're done with the heat. There's something messed up. And I think UCLA is going to put on a show and win, like, 56-10.
I was thoroughly impressed by UCLA on Saturday, the way they just dismantled Arizona. I mean, that game wasn't even close. The final score was a blowout, but it wasn't even as close as the final score. So I guess I'm buying in with UCLA.
I agree, bro.
thanks, bro.
Thanks, bro.
Ranked versus ranked, 14 versus 21, Mississippi State at our favorite team of the year, Texas A&M.
That's right.
A&M survived a scare last week against Arkansas. Had to go to OT.
Road SEC games are never easy. It doesn't matter who you play. But I like A&M to turn it back around at home and put up some points. So lay the 7 with A&M.
All right. Free money for everyone, Dan. You ready? This is my lock of the week. Michigan, playing extremely well, goes to Maryland, who is horrible this year. I have not seen 1 minute of Michigan football, but I've seen the results, and I've seen the results of how Maryland's playing. It's a 16-point line. It's a 43-point over. Michigan's going to win this game by 30.
Wow. Okay. I'll take your word for that.
Maybe not 30, but they should dominate this game.
Okay, fair enough.
Our first, what I would call a big game, we got Notre Dame at Clemson. It's a pick 'em. It's a 54-point over-under. Clemson 3-0 coming off a very long bye. Their last game was actually two Thursdays ago, the game at Louisville. So they haven't played in quite some time. Notre Dame, now that Georgia Tech looks mediocre, I'm not sure Notre Dame's been tested. I think they look good, but their big wins were a close win at Virginia, of course, with the injuries, and then an impressive win over a questionable Georgia Tech team. So I kind of like Notre Dame. My eye test, as they say, seems like they're good. Seems like even with the backup QB, they put up some points and the defense is dominated. In a pick 'em, I would take Notre Dame over the shaky Dabo Sweeney coaching and the Clemson traditional letdown game. But what do you think?
I think Notre Dame's overrated as usual. Their injuries are too much. They haven't played anybody. Georgia Tech's all fucked up. Virginia sucks, and their head coach is getting fired. This is Clemson. This is in South Carolina, Death Valley. This is where it ends for Notre Dame. Clemson in a pick 'em. Very lovely. Delicious pick 'em.
Do you think Clemson's good, or do you think Notre Dame is overrated?
I think Clemson's about like the 18th best team in the country, and Notre Dame's probably like the 30th best.
Wow. So Notre Dame would be significantly overrated via the Dan peephole,
which is an improved poll.
Well, better than the coach's poll, that's for sure.
Thank you.
All right. Oregon at Colorado. If there's ever a team to give you a bounce back game, it's Colorado.
I cannot lay any points with Oregon for a while. Stay away. Move on.
Byron Marshall out for the season. That's a problem.
Crazy.
My question to you, last time we talked, you said something about Oregon's style of play leading to injuries and hurting them.
Yep.
I think you may have been totally vindicated the last couple weeks.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, all the injuries has killed them. They've got a lot of problems this year, but
They need to completely change the whole program. I mean, they can still wear the crazy uniforms, but they got to get big offensive linemen in there, and they got to run the ball and chew a little clock. And it's completely out of control at this point. Every year, the whole team's fucking hurt. It's really frustrating.
All right, Dan, let's say the president of Oregon, I don't know who it is, Phil Knight, let's say,
That's who
calls
it
you
is.
up. He says, "Danny P, come on out. I'm going to pay you $5 million a year, mostly in Nikes. You'll get a 50 grand cash and 450 grand in shoes a year. You're
I
going to be
like
the new general manager. We're making up a position that's from the pros and we're bringing it to college. What do you do? What are your first, month worth of moves as the new general manager of Oregon?"
I probably keep Helfrich as my coach right now because I don't think there's anyone available out there who's really going to change your program. But I would start changing how we recruit for sure and start going for more, larger players. And that's all you can really do until you change the coaching staff. And then I bring in a real coach when they become available.
Who, theoretically, if you could have any coach, who would you bring in that would be best suited to change the style?
If you could ever go to Manhattan, Kansas, and go to Kansas State and steal Mr. Bill Snyder, that'd be a good one. He'd fit in really well there.
Bill Snyder's got to retire at some point, doesn't he?
No,
He's like 70 something years old.
he is inhuman and can do whatever he wants. That would be one option. You go down to maybe the SEC and take like Hugh Freeze, something like that. But it's really hard. Or you can take someone maybe from like the NFL. That's actually possible too. But there's not really a good coaching pool right now, as you can see. And but Oregon's got to completely change it up because they maxed out with all kinds of amazing talent and they didn't win it. And they're not going to. So blow it up.
You know who I feel like is a good coach who maybe somebody in the Pac-12 could steal away is Dan Mullen.
Yeah, there you
He
go.
does a great job at Mississippi State, but I just don't think he's really in a position to ever win a title. It's just too difficult down there. But if he could take the same style of play and the same level of players and bring it to, say, Oregon, I think he would be very successful there.
No, I think you're absolutely right.
So go poach him, Oregon.
Poach.
Or how do you feel about Scott Frost?
No.
Any reason or just no? Because it's
Absolutely.
too similar.
We don't like Nebraska. Never will.
Drew, fair enough.
I'm still pissed.
Still upset about the 94 season?
Yeah, I've never forgot that.
It's never forget.
I think about that more than 9/11. It's the truth. I'm not, shortchanging what happened there. I'm just telling you what I think about more is that.
Well, I don't want to cause any controversy, but the 94 Nebraska championship was an inside job.
It was a fucking inside job. They're like, oh, they need a title. Tommy Frazier.
They should have just broke the rules and played Penn State. Kerry Collins, Kajana Carter, remember when he was good?
Kerry,
What's Kajana Carter doing these days?
no idea.
Would you say he's more like selling real estate or working at Ruby Tuesday?
Real estate salesman.
Okay. I'm with you. I believe in Kajana Carter.
Harrisburg real estate mogul, Kajana Carter.
You think we're going to see some commercials if we lived in Harrisburg that would be like, "Hi, I'm Kajana Carter, star of the 1994 Penn State Nittany Lions. If you want to score a touchdown, come on down to Harrisburg Kia."
That's exactly what he's doing, and I would buy a car off him, so whatever.
Okay. Arizona at Stanford. That one's all you. I have no thoughts.
These two teams confuse me. They're both capable of being amazing or laying an egg. Stay away. Stay away.
Arizona State, you basically just denounced. Would you
Well,
do the same for Arizona, or do you think they still have a chance?
Arizona still has a chance, but not Arizona State. They're finished.
I'm not saying necessarily a chance to get in the playoff, but for a
No.
respectable top 15 finish in the season.
Arizona has a chance to finish in the top 25. Arizona State's completely finished.
Stanford looks good since their week one loss, which now turns out it was to a pretty good Northwestern team.
True.
I like Stanford in this game, Dan, I'm sorry to say.
All right, whatever.
All right, time for the game of the week. This is a big one, Dan. Big game.
Big game.
Bama at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
3:30 Eastern. Georgia minus 2.5. Over under 54.5. Now, by the time you hear this, you'll probably have heard a million analysts say it, but it bears repeating. This is the first time in 72 games Alabama is an underdog. The last time was the 09 SEC Championship game against Tim Tebow in Florida, which we all remember. Bama won that game handily. That game, ironically, well, not ironically, Alanis Morissette, ironically, was the same day as the infamous UConn South Florida Snow Bowl, which I was in attendance for.
Yes, you were.
Yes. So instead of watching that historic Alabama game, I watched UConn versus South Florida in the snow, the worst sporting experience of my life. Snow was going sideways. It didn't matter which way you turned in the stadium, the snow would still go right directly in your face.
Brutal.
It was so cold. My old roommate, he forgot to wear gloves. He didn't prepare well. He went in the bathroom and there's that little rack by the urinals where people put stuff while they're going to the bathroom. He just grabbed somebody's gloves and just took off.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I questioned him later. He's like, I had to do it, man, for survival.
Very shady.
It was very shady. So anyway, this is the closest spread, or the closest spread during that 72 game streak was the championship game against LSU. That was 2.5. Otherwise, nothing. I think the next closest one was 3.5. Some are calling this a playoff elimination game, mostly people who don't understand math. I think that this game is just going to come down to who is more physical. I don't think either of these teams really do a lot of trickery. They're just run, pounded out teams. And that's sort of one thing I like about this in the era of like Texas Tech, TCU. This is a game where both teams know what the other team's going to do. And the question is, can you stop them?
I think you're pretty much spot on. I think if you change the name of Alabama and put another college there, this line would be closer to 7. And therefore, I like Georgia to win and give Alabama their second of 4 losses for the year.
Yeah, so for those who are just listening to this one and not the other ones, you've predicted a 3-4 loss season for Alabama?
Yeah, and I received some criticism from people on Twitter. But
it is. You've got haters, Dan, like Kanye, Taylor Swift, and other great famous human beings.
Compare me to Kanye. I love it.
Yes. So the Alabama dynasty's over then.
Yep.
Are you on board with that? People are saying the dynasty's over basically because they didn't win a championship game last year. They only made the playoff.
Well, yeah.
Dynasties are not the thing you really judge in real time. You're supposed to judge a dynasty looking back.
I mean, they can win a title like, you know, next year or the year after. But I think that all the other teams in the SEC really caught up to them over the past 5 years. And, you know, I mean, all those other teams improved so much. There was such a huge gap in like, 2010 and stuff like that. But it's really close now. You know, coaching staffs have changed and adapt and more film, improve recruiting, and it's going to be tough to do. But, I mean, it's still Alabama. They're going to be fine, but they're just going to have problems this year. They have a lot of new pieces. They got, you know, Amari Cooper in the NFL, TJ Yeldon in the NFL, or quarterback, you know, Blake Sims playing somewhere. It's a lot of changes. You know, you got freaking Lane Kiffin running around on the sideline. He's a jinx, you know? I mean, and on top of that, they also play a very hard schedule. So it's going to be a long year for Alabama. I think Georgia's going to win this week, so we'll see.
There's an article in USA Today today. Sorry, that doesn't sound right, but it came out today. By the time you hear this, it'll have come out, you know,
tomorrow.
Yesterday.
Tomorrow.
I don't know. Go to USA Today and search for Mark Richt. There's
today
a,
I'm going to introduce myself today.
There's a great, great article. It basically sums up what I've been saying since we began this podcast a few years ago. And what I used to always write in my Take the Points column, which preceded the podcast, that Mark Richt runs his program the right way. To quote my friend Carl, who's a lifelong Georgia fan, Georgia does things the right way, and that's why they'll never win the big one.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And this article really sums it up nicely, how Georgia fans are trying to balance that dichotomy of being the team that does things the right way in the SEC, which is not known for doing such, and how it's so far prevented them from winning a national title. So with that in mind, Dan, I got a little musical accompaniment.
Okay.
Oh, Bama, straight up victory.
Turn it up.
3 points. Field goal game, 32-29.
I still like it. I don't care.
I thought you hate this song because they make fun of Neil Young.
Fuck Neil Young. This song is good too.
I like Skynyrd. I always joke they're like the one conservative band that really rocks.
Something just, I mean, always makes you happy. I don't care. I mean, I'm not going to be a hater like I was in my 20s. I'm 34. I don't give a shit anymore. Just put it on and dance. I don't care.
Yeah. I'll still take Simple Man over this, but not bad stuff. All right, Dan. I guess we got to wrap this up before we get sued for copyright infringement. I'm going to fade out. That's my pick. 32-29, Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama dynasty continues.
Okay,
Georgia being pretty good and then never winning the big game continues, same as it ever was.
Okay, fair enough.
That's it, Dan. We really burned through that. That was quick. Oh no, that's not it. Dan holding up the four fingers indicates the most important segment of the podcast.
That's right,
I forgot
folks.
About it because we skipped it last week. So it's out of sight, out of mind. But it's time to do the Dan Partridge 4-team 13-point teaser of the week.
Yes, I am 0-2 on the year, but we're going to go for a home run here and do a special 2-unit selection to try to get back to 500 this week. I feel great about this one.
So remind people what this is, just in case.
I got to pick 4 games. I can adjust the line or over under by 13 points. But I have to win all 4 games to win the bet. So, kids, here we go. Your first bet's going to be TCU -2 against Texas. I like that one very much. Moving on for game number 2, we got Art Briles and the Baylor Bears. They're going to be -4 against Texas Tech. Going to keep on going. Keep on going. We're going to, you know, eat a turkey sandwich, maybe take a nap for a little bit, and we're going to, you know, check back in later with UCLA -1 against Arizona State. And then to put a little icing on the cake, you're going to go ahead and take Clemson +13 at home against Notre Dame. So there you go. Basically, all those teams pretty much just have to win and you're going to cover. So there you go. The only spread is the highest is Baylor -4. So, and you're getting 13 with Clemson. So Clemson, UCLA, Baylor, TCU, run it.
You've gone with a different strategy. Usually you'll pick more of blowout type games and then you'll just lower the line to where it seems easy. But you've picked all big time games this week.
Changing it up. Special 2-unit play. Going to get back to 500.
So this is the second best segment. Tom Z tells Dan how he's going to lose his 4-team teaser.
Yep.
Now, I said I like Notre Dame to win, but not by 13. Hell no. So that one looks good to me. Now, UCLA -1 over Arizona, is that correct?
Arizona State, yeah.
Arizona State, okay. So even better. UCLA is looking good. Arizona State could be motivated by their loss, trying to salvage their season, but I just don't see it happening. Josh Rosen is very good. Strong running game, good defense, good coaching. I like UCLA. Then we've got TCU. Is it -3, -2? -2 against Texas. That's a tough one. Now, TCU's been fucking around this season, so I could see them taking it to OT, winning by 1, being one of those weird 3 overtime games where they have to do the 2-point conversion, and then having the ball get like stuck in somebody's shirt and falling in the end zone. It's the way it's been going for them. That one's potential. And then Baylor has to win by 4. I think that one could be troubling too. Baylor has not really proven themselves this year, even though they look great. They've blown out some mediocre teams. Texas Tech's on a hot streak. I'm going to say Texas Tech keeps it to a field goal. You lose in the most agonizing fashion yet by only 1 point on one of your games.
A quick fantasy football rant for you in the NFL. The Kansas City Chiefs haven't thrown a touchdown pass to wide receiver in 25 games. I was winning in my fantasy football league going to halftime. Jeremy Maclin had no catches. 8 catches, 144 yards, and a touchdown in the second half to beat me. That was fun. Or to nearly beat me. But that's a very similar thing is what I'm trying to say right there.
I had a similar experience with fantasy football. I think I was down 80 points or something ridiculous going into the Monday night game, and then I had Aaron Rodgers who put up something like 60 points. So I actually came somewhat close after totally giving up. But yeah, fantasy football is, you know,
it's the worst.
I set the lineup and then that's all you can do. You can't get invested. It's too difficult.
No, it fucking sucks.
Yeah. I'm over fantasy football.
So we're about to end the podcast, but I'm going to call you out on air. Where's the Spotify? What's going on? Do I got to text you songs? What's the fucking problem here?
Well, Dan, I have created a Spotify playlist called Take the Points Playlist. However, that is sort of, I've won on a technicality because I created it basically only to use songs that I thought I would play during the podcast. For example, the Sweet Home Alabama that you just heard illegally on this podcast, that came from it right now. It's actually playing right now because I only lowered the volume instead of turning it off. So if I can turn it up a little bit, we've got the Auburn theme song on now.
Oh, there it is.
I was saving that for later.
It's genius.
Another one that I forgot to play earlier when I was talking about the upcoming Pac-12 championship game. You got a little Cal theme song.
There it is.
And I'm going to stop this because I'm losing focus. I also put on some Irish music, which I was going to play for my Notre Dame pick, but then I realized I hate Irish music. Like, I really hate Irish music, which is funny because I am Irish and I love going out for St. Patrick's Day, but I can't stand the music. So I try to always have a St. Patrick's Day party and then I just play U2 and I'm like, this is as good as you're going to get.
I'm not a big fan of St. Patrick's Day. Bah humbug.
I like it. I mean, I'm too old now, but back in my heyday.
Yeah.
I would at least, you know, if I can play like the U2, one of the U2 albums I like, or some Cranberries, it's like, that's as good as you're getting out of Ireland. It's much better than like Danny Boy. I know that's sacrilege for many, but.
Shout out the hot Cranberries reference right there. Really impressive.
When I visited Ireland a few years ago, we were driving around, I think it was the Dingle Peninsula on a bus tour. And they actually were like, now here are the cliffs and here's a famous thing. And here is the childhood house of Dolores O'Riordan of the Cranberries.
Oh, very important.
That makes the tour.
Badass.
That could go in our minor celebrity thing, Dan. Would you live in rural Ireland if you were Dolores O'Riordan of the Cranberries and you were that level of fame?
I think so, yeah.
All right, good. Well, anything else you want to add before we call it a day? What's the song of the week for the playlist?
Necessary Evil by Unknown Mortal Orchestra.
All right. What else do you want to add? Any general thoughts about football or life or otherwise that you want to sign off with?
No.
You want to do like an Andy Rooney-esque rant about LinkedIn?
I saw a guy wearing a LinkedIn t-shirt this week.
I saw a guy in a LinkedIn t-shirt when I was in California a few months ago.
I was like, what's this guy trying to do?
They must work for LinkedIn, right?
I don't know. Or he just loves it. He's really LinkedIn and he needs to wear the shirt. So you can actually just link in with him via the shirt.
Dan, I made it through a 2-day business conference in New Hampshire without one LinkedIn request.
Wow, that's pretty impressive, Z. Hats off to you.
It was an all-time record. Much like Alabama's 72-game streak of being a favorite. The 2 days without getting a LinkedIn request at a conference is unprecedented. I just want to thank God.
Okay, very impressive. All right, I think that's it for this week. We'll check back in next week.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening. TakeThePoints.net, hit us up on Pinterest, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Pinterest, you asshole.
Take the point.